God, yeah, we could come in here as a family of God and we can just rest in your presence. We have a peace as we gather. We come and we know that during this time, this hour, as we are together, that, man, all the world can be shut out. All the events of the day and all the struggles of the heart can just be set aside. And God, I pray that we do that this morning as we continue to praise you, not only through song, but as we open up your word and your truth. God, we do think of the Frederick family. We think of Dave Bash and his family with his dad going home. And God, there's so many things. It seems like the kingdom of heaven is gaining a lot. Father, and I pray that through working through us, that the kingdom on earth is also having a lot more members coming in. And Father, I pray as we look to your word today that we will soften our hearts, that we'll open our minds, clear them, allow us to focus only on you and your son's precious name, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray this in your son's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. Just in case I need it. My leg is doing much better, and appreciate all the prayers. And as we mentioned last week, that you go through the surgery and everything's fine, everything's great, it hurts a little bit, and then you go to torture. Well, I'm in that stage. I'm in therapy, and so they're bound and determined to bend it further than what I think it could go. But anyway, that's needed. Whole new definition of no pain, no gain. So I'm grateful for them to do what they do, but maybe not at the moment, but after the fact, it's much better. But that being said, I've been able to, Kim has helped me out greatly. She's a great helpmate in allowing me to recover. She is great for my therapy because we are past the stage of, can you get me a drink? Go get it yourself. I love her to death. She's great for my therapy. So that's a joy. But that also being said, if you find any mistakes in the bulletin, it was my fault because I helped her out this week and I was doing the bulletin. So there may be a few things in there. I left out the word April for the ladies by breakfast. But anyway, we'll get through it. But appreciate each of you here today. And man, God is good, isn't he? I'm telling you, when we realize all that we have and all that we so easily could lose. You know, when you look at the difference of that, you look at a life in a world where all that we have from God ain't never going to go anywhere. Man, we have that and we live that life. But you think of this week and see the storms that just happened going up through the Ohio Valley and all the way up through the tornadoes and the loss of life, the loss of homes. And sometimes as we look into that, and it's amazing as I was thinking through that, you know, talking about the parable kingdoms as we are in Mark chapter 4, we realize that, man, this kingdom on earth is great, but it's not what we will have as the end. You know, we lose loved ones, people come, people go, and we know that they're in heaven, and that's great. But man, when we talk about the kingdom of God and the kingdom in heaven, man, that ought to get you excited. That ought to get you a little bit stirred up to say, you know what? It is such a beautiful place. It's going to be such a beautiful place. I can't help but tell you about it. I can't help but talk to you about it. Because that, to me, is what we're seeing as we study through these parables. Because when we study through these parables, we realize that God is doing the teaching, of course, and we realize it's sort of towards the beginning of his ministry, not the beginning, but it's in the early stages of his ministry. And so Christ is teaching us by setting an example. We talked last week, how important is it that every step we go, we're planting seeds? Everywhere we travel, every attitude we have, you know, and the good thing is, you know, attitude is an amazing thing. If you don't have a good one, change it. It's that simple. Attitude comes from a thought process. It doesn't come through circumstance. It doesn't come through good days, bad days. Attitude comes from a thought process. And you know, you can have a great attitude in the midst of your worst day. You see, when we look at Christ, that's what we gain. That's what we have. Those are the seeds that we're planting as we go through life. Everywhere we go, anywhere we go. So last week, bringing in, and we're going to finish up on some of these concepts of the parables, at least for this moment. Next week, you're going to have to come back. Does anybody have a storm in their life? Have you ever had a storm in your life? Well, you're going to kind of come next week. That's next week's message, okay? It's not this week. You've got to come back next week. Because we're going to see how Jesus basically, again, is the calmer of the storm. But when we go into Mark today, I want to do a little bit of a quick review in this, simply because, and again, I got to get one thing set yet. Get the right foot down here. When we end up looking at what God is doing through the text and how he is instructing us continually on his examples, we know that he's teaching in parables. We know that as he teaches in parables, there's a double meaning for that. I'm going to look at that a little bit today. But the first thing we need to see is a little bit of review. Because as we go through this, what I want to try to help you and what I need in my life is how do all the scriptures fit together? Because there's not one scripture out of sync. There's not one place in the Bible that you'll find that it contradicts. And the only time there is a contradiction is because of our understanding of what it's trying to say. And so what we're going to see today is when we go through this a little bit, we first looked at the first parable, or parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Christ purposely taught this way, as we know that they contribute his miracles to Beelzebub, or they contribute his miracles and what he could do to Satan. And that upset him a little bit, as it would you and I. So he decided, therefore, now he's going to teach in parables because they're going to understand the earthly story, but they're going to miss the heavenly meaning purposely because of how they treated him and how they rejected him. So that being said, it's very important to understand that there is a deeper meaning in all the parables that we read in the Bible. And the greatest thing is if you're here today and you've asked Christ into your life, you're one of his disciples. So here today, you're going to be able to go alongside his disciple, and he's going to teach you a little bit more. We ended even last week looking at verse 24 and 25 in the realms of, for he hath, or verse 25, for he that hath to him shall be given, and he that hath not from him shall be taken away. Basically, God is going to give you all that you really want to learn. I want you to sink that in for a minute. God is not going to say at the point of our salvation, okay, I'm going to now dump on you the syllabus of life. And you're going to know all that you need to know. You're going to know all the text. No, he doesn't do that. God continues as we desire and strive and learn, he's going to give us and give us, and it's not going to end. There is no way that my feeble mind is going to comprehend and know all that God has. Scripture even says in Colossians, the eyes have not seen, ears have not heard all the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But what I'm really eager and intrigued about today, when we talk about a parable, if I want the understanding of a parable, if I want an understanding of the passage, if I want to understand, then I want to be the disciple that God pulls alongside and says, listen, let me tell you about that. And we're going to get that understanding, and we're going to see how that works today as we study through. So that's what a parable is. The first parable we saw was the parable of the sower. How it goes on good soil, bad soil, rocky soil, thorny soil. The soil is our hearts. So as the seeds go out, they go out into the ground of our hearts. Last week we talked about you and I laying them seeds out. We don't know what the soil is. We don't know who's watching. We don't know who's listening. We don't know who at that moment that we pass by is having a terrible, terrible day. In fact, you have no idea what kind of day I'm having. I have no idea what kind of day you're having. I don't know what phone calls you may have received. I don't know what reports you may have been given. I don't know what your family structure is like. I don't know anything about what you brought in with you today. But I do know that you have a heart of soil that God wants to fertilize, that God wants to deal with, that God wants to meet. And so when we look at this concept of the sower, we realize as the seed is sown, it has soil to grow on. Second parable we looked at was the parable of light. We talked about that light. We talked about him, Christ, being that light. And you don't buy a lamp, light it, hide it, put it under the bed, or put it under the bushel. You don't light a lamp, to bury it, you light a lamp so that it can show the way. And understanding that when we're talking about the sower, Christ's ministry, keeping it in the context of the kingdom parables, he's beginning to tell us a story. He's beginning to tell us that in this earthly kingdom, there needs to be a sower. In this earthly kingdom, there needs to be a light. He was that light. John says he is the light of the world. And so because he is that light, he's teaching a deeper meaning of just don't buy a candle, light it, and put it under the bed. What he's saying is, I am that light. I've come down to this kingdom to be a sower. Did it not say in scriptures, he came to seek and to save those who were lost? So putting these parables together gives a little different insight. Again, the third one we looked at, parable of the ground and the seed. The growth of the seed, I'm sorry. As we saw last week, this growing up or the springing up, how the seeds were planted, and you don't have to do anything to those seeds. As the seed is laid out, the seed is planted, the farmer went on and did all that he did during the normal time of the day, and he does nothing else. But the earth itself will bring them up. Again, understanding that if we have the sower in Christ, we have the light in Christ, he is also the one who will give the increase to the seed. We saw as we studied through looking at Paul and Apollos, both in Corinthians, that they were looking at favoritism of men. They said, listen, I water, you plant, I water, God gets the increase. Everywhere we go, everything we do, we're planting seeds. And we got to constantly remember that in our life. It's like having a testimony. You always have a testimony every day. You will always be sharing your testimony every day, good or bad. It all depends on what? Your attitude, and it depends on what you're doing and how you're responding to life. Listen, people are watching. And I'll use a real quick illustration of this, and it just sort of happened when we went to Dorothy's Frederick for the viewing. Kim and I went, and I walked in, and the guy who opened the door says, way to go. I'm like, what do you mean, way to go? You came showing your people that right after surgery, it's important to be here. I planted a seed in a guy that I don't even know is saved. Every step we do, it is so exciting because I love it when God makes me look good. You know what I'm saying? Listen, it ain't up here. God makes me look good. God does those things in our life. We do things every day just because. Listen, when God nudges, you go. When God gives you something to say, you say it. And every time you begin to do things, you're setting examples that you don't even realize. You see, that's the growth of the seed. You and I grow as a seed grows. Today, we're going to look at the parable of the mustard seed. And hopefully, as we look at this today in verse 30 of Mark chapter 4, we look at it in a way that really gives us an understanding. Again, we have to keep our minds in the concept of the kingdom. Because so easily, I know there's a verse in Matthew 17:20 that says that our faith should be like a seed of mustard seed. That's a different context, a different understanding. But I hope after today, you understand what that means about your faith. Because we're going to talk about the mustard seed, comparing to the kingdom of God. So when we get into this morning, looking at verse 30 of Mark chapter 4, if you have not turned there yet, please turn there and follow as I read through the first three verses, 30, 31, and 32. As he had said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like the grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Now it's like, all right, preacher, how can you get a message that's going to affect me out of that? Well, it's interesting when you study through what this is considering and how he's bringing it. So looking at the parable of the mustard seed, what we need to see is there's two questions concerning the kingdom of God began. He began this parable with two questions. In verse 30, it says, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? So he's standing there, and he's talking again to the whole. He's not talking to just his 12. So he's talking to them, and he says, how can I compare the kingdom of God with something that you're going to realize, something you're going to understand? Now, again, earthly story. Now, do you think Christ was stumped at this moment? Probably not. I think what he's doing, whenever God asks questions, it's so that we have to answer them so we understand. God doesn't need our answer. He needs us to think about the question. So the question is, what can I show you? What can I give you? What parable is there that could compare? Or the second question, or with what comparison shall we compare it? So it's interesting enough, in the translations, we always lose a little bit of the original language. The word comparison is the exact same Greek word for parable. So what he is saying is, what parable can I give you? What can I say to you for you to understand the kingdom of God? And I've thought about that as I studied through this. Is there an earthly story that will allow you to understand completely what the kingdom of God is about? I don't know. I don't think. Christ came up with a good one, and I don't think we're going to outtop it. But I think the story of the mustard seed is what he's trying to say is it's not about so much us understanding in fullness of what we are going to acquire or what we're going to gain or what we're going to see. What he's going to do is he's going to give us an understanding of what it started, how it started, and where it's going to end up. So if we go into the kingdom of God and we look at how does the kingdom of God start? Well, Christ, the light of the world, the sower of the seed, as he mentioned in the previous parables, has come now to earth to take on the human form so that he may die on a cross and pay the penalty of your sin. Thus, the kingdom of heaven begins. He's saying the kingdom of God begins with him. And so let's compare that with that mindset. Let's look at how that all fits together. Not only the two questions, but the next thing is the mustard seed. I'll give you a little bit of a horticultural. Maybe Eric should preach this one, but give you a little idea about what a mustard seed is. The mustard seed, it took 725 to 760, I know there's a big gap in there, seeds to weigh a gram. It takes 28 grams to equal an ounce. Just think about that for a minute. The mustard seed is so small, so lightweight, appearing to be so insignificant that it takes over 700 of them to make 1 gram. Now, I'll let you do the math. You multiply that times 28, okay? It's more than I would want to carry. The significance of the seed, they would have understood this. They would have known because why? Because that's what they do. They plant their herbs. They plant their seeds. They understood the earthly story of how insignificant that seed is held in the palm of your hand. So as the beginning is small, is what he's sharing, the plant basically is also the fastest growing annual shrub, growing 12 to 15 feet high in a few weeks. So you want to block your neighbors off? Plant some mustard seed. It'll be there in a week. But it's annual, so you got to do it every year, but I'm just saying. I want you to get that concept. One eeny, beady, tiny seed within weeks is a 15-foot bush. Because he's referring to the growth of the kingdom of God. He's referring to, listen, I'm the sower, I'm the light of the world, I'm beginning this process. Now, we all know, because we've read the rest of the story, that he has given that and delegated that mission to us. In the end of the book of Matthew 28, we are to go into the world, we are to make disciples, we are to preach, we are to teach, we are to be baptizing in the name of God. And so he began, and he's using this illustration as that small seed began. Christ began the ministry of the kingdom of God. And it's growing fast, isn't it? Correlate that with Peter's first message. 3,000 souls at one message. So I want to bring that into our responsibility here as we go through this, but I wanted to share the importance of that mustard seed, because what I think is when we realize, again, as soon as you hear mustard seed, what do you think of? Your faith. I want to try to get away from that for right now, because this is an illustration of how the kingdom of God started with one and has developed into an unbelievable heaven full of God's children. And that's going to be an amazing day, isn't it? Man. Somebody say amen. Make me happy. Oh, thank you. You all shaking your head like, yeah, yeah. Well, say amen. It's all right, man. Man, you got to get me excited up here a little bit. When we realize what God is doing and what he is trying to say, what he is saying then, going back into the text, the comparison that he gives, the grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds. And we can understand that. We see that by how many of it takes just to make an ounce. And then, as it's in the earth, but when it's sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs. Two things in that phrase of verse 32. When the seed is planted and sown, first it grows up. Man, some Christians today haven't grown up yet. Some of us haven't grown up yet. We haven't got that desire to learn, the desire to go forward, the desire to be, listen, I don't want to be like I am now, tomorrow. I want to understand some truth today. I want to understand about my God. And listen, if you're here and those hearing me through the website, if you don't know Christ, remember the seed, it all starts there. When it starts with Christ in your life and you have Christ in your life, listen, you ought to be able to expand from that moment. There is no way that your spiritual life should be the same today as it was a year ago. Why? Because as we saw in the previous parable, I'll give you more as if you want more. You'll be responsible for more. You'll be accountable for more, but I'll be glad to give it to you. And so in this process of growth, and you know that's been my word, that's our word for this year, for vision, for moving forward, we need growth. We need growth in our private lives. We need growth in our family relationships. We need growth in our church relationships. We need growth in our responding to what we're doing for God. And my goal is to have two services by the end of this year. I'd love to have two services every Sunday. Because then you all come to the early service, you get the warm up. But then your food for lunch is warmer at noon, I think. I don't know. Those who come second, you'll get the better sermon if you come to the second service because they already had one warm-up. You know, you work out all the bugs. But listen, and it's not up to me. You see, there's this concept that I'm sure all of us agree with. Sheep breed sheep. Wasn't that just profound? Wasn't that amazing? Listen. You gotta be out there. You've gotta take what God's word says. You gotta be the sower of the seeds. If you're not sowing the seeds, and this is what, as he takes his disciples to the side and he begins to teach them more and more, and he gives them in depth, as we saw with the first parable. After he taught it, he then called his disciples. He then called them inside. He said, listen, this is what that means. I want you to understand it. They had no idea that he was gonna give that responsibility to them in this moment. But he will, as he has for us. And so we see this mustard seed as the beginning. It all starts somewhere, and we realize that the kingdom of God is embodied in the presence of Christ. The kingdom of heaven came to earth because Christ was there. And Tony, I just speak the name of Jesus. I love that song. Because, you know, there are times in our life when it may be so hard, when it may hurt so much, that's all you can say. Jesus. And you know what Romans 8:28 says about that? It's good. 26 through 28. When we do not have the words to utter to God, he speaks for us. All we got to do is say, Jesus. And you know what he does from that point? God, one of ours is really hurt and he don't even have the words. Let me tell you about what's going on in his life. Isn't that amazing? You got somebody who's never going to leave you, never forsake you. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he's going to go to his Father, the throne, as he's sitting on the right-hand side of him. And he's going to say, listen, this one's hurting so bad they don't have the words to tell me how, but I know how. Sometimes all we got to do is just say the name of Jesus, and we get his attention. We get his attention. That's exactly, I think, what is going on with the presence of Christ. When he comes in and says, listen, I am the sower. I am the light of the world. I'm the one starting this. And this starts with a small seed, but it's going to grow, and it's going to grow very quickly. It's going to just flourish. Can you imagine? And again, the time frame is the principle of the quick growth. But Christ didn't give them all that was going to happen in heaven. He didn't give them all of the kingdom, what it's going to be and look like. We get that in the book of Revelation. We have an understanding per se. But what he wanted them to know is they were going to be part of the seed planters. That was their mission. Folks, that's our mission today. We're all about planting the seeds that God has given us. All about allowing our lives to be seen different. Because when it's seen different, somebody will look at you. How are you doing that? What's going on? How are you handling that? It's amazing. When we claim the name of Christ, or we claim the name of Jesus, what happens at that point and how clear it is in our lives that he is a God that really the mission's never ended. Sunday evening, as I mentioned before, as we study through the book of Kings, now in the second Kings, that God's work never dies. His workers do. And that's why it's so important to be bringing up the next generation. So important for the growth. So important to get the kids back into Sunday school. So important to get everybody back into a realm of a goal and a vision to simply say, we want to get on board with this. We want to see things grow. Listen, it's exciting, isn't it? If that that's all the excitement you all have, we're going to change the message. It's exciting. Why? Because I now have a purpose in my life. Anybody struggling with a purpose? Struggling why? What is my purpose? What is going on when I get up in the morning? I don't know what I'm doing next. And man, God gives us a purpose, doesn't he? And I'm going to tell you, if you don't have a purpose in life every morning when you wake up, you're going to die real soon. And you may already be dead spiritually. And you'll die physically if you don't have a purpose to get up, because you won't. Things start deteriorating, body starts going down. You got to have a purpose. And this is our purpose, sowing the seed for the kingdom of God. The second thing I want to look at is basically the summary and the purpose and the approach of the parables. We see that in verses 33 and 34. Says, and with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Man, that last phrase excites me. He makes me smarter than I am. He allows me to accomplish more than I could ever do. Why? Because I'm just the conduit. You're just the conduit. You're not doing any of it. Remember the parable where the seed is sown and then the guy just goes off on his own and does his everyday chores, everyday deal? That's what God's saying. Listen, you're the conduit. Let me do the work. I've already handled the cross. I already handled the penalty and the payment. Let me work through you. If you surrender your life to me, let me work through you to the people around you as you walk, as you respond, as you live your life in this world. You see, those are all the parables blended together. And this is basically the mission given to us in this realm. So first of all, we see Jesus' purpose in verses 11 and 12. Same chapter, turn back to verse 11 and 12. Verse 11 states, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So his purpose of speaking in a parable was because, disciples, I want you to get it. I want you to understand. I want you to grow. I want you to keep moving in your spiritual life. Because, and if I don't add nothing to Scripture, but if I could put one more phrase to that verse, life stinks. Life's going to hurt. You're not going to like life at times. That's why you need to understand the mystery of the kingdom of God. That's why you need to know me, Christ. You need to understand those things. God knew the life that we were going to have to live. He knew the world in which we'd have to live it in. Nothing takes him by surprise. And so he's saying, he wants to speak, and the purpose, one of the purposes that because we will understand the mystery. Verse 12 says that seeing they may see not, perceiving and hearing they may hear not, understanding least at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven of them. And we talked about, God, you don't want their sins to be converted? God, you don't want them to understand? Listen, I don't think today's church understands the depth and the level of rejecting Christ. They rejected him. They said it has to be from Beelzebub. It has to be from Satan. We can't deny what he's doing, but we can deny the power it comes from. That was their only argument. And I want to tell you, when you mess around rejecting Christ, when you feel that pull and the tug in your heart, that God's calling you to his family or God's calling you into something, and you continue to reject it, you know what? He's going to say, okay. Simply said it in that verse. And I can't understand that. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. Surely his will is that none would perish, Scripture says. But I'm going to tell you, you reject him hard enough and long enough, and according to that verse, he's going to say, okay. That's a sad place because there are many people that we may know that are in that zone. They've heard the message of truth. They understand what they need to do to accept Christ, and they reject it. And they reject it. And they reject it. And listen, nobody can change the heart of man except God. And when God says no, you're not going to Bible thump them. You're not going to make it happen. You're not going to get in there. You're not going to make it work. All we can do is pray and plant seeds. And so in our own heart and life, we need to be careful with this concept. His purpose was, in parables, to speak them so that they would not understand the mystery of the kingdom of God and they would not be converted because they've already rejected him and kicked him out. So that being said, the next thing we see is his approach. And verse 15 of chapter 1, go back to chapter 1, verse 15. Mark stated as Christ was speaking, says, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand because of his presence. Repeat ye and believe the gospel. You see, the word was spoken. And that's the most important thing we see. When we understand this, we understand that Jesus' approach spoke the word. He spoke the word as he spoke the word. He was the word. Christ said, it's my presence. It's who I am. You and I, we just simply have the word of God. But, you know, this is more than just words on a page. Here. I mean, you can have 500 different copies of the Bible in your house if you want them. You can have all kind of different translations if you want to read through them. You can have all kind of commentary helps. You can have all kind of whatever you need. But when it comes to knowing that the word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, according to John 1:14, we need to realize that's in here, not here. When we understand Christ dwells within our hearts, we need to realize that when he came and when he has purpose here, his approach was speaking the word of truth. That's how he approached it, the parables. He kept on teaching the truth through his parables. The last thing we see before we end this morning was that he kept on explaining to his disciples. And that last part of that verse, we can see it in verse 33. And with many such parables, spake he the word. He spoke the truth to them. And then, as they were able to hear it, spiritual things are for spiritual people. Worldly things are for worldly people. He just made a great distinction on how we should have our life. We shouldn't be so much involved in the world that we're not part of the spiritual. Verse 34, and we being without parable, we spake them, basically concerning the kingdom of God. If he was going to talk about the kingdom of God, he was no longer going to say it any other way except in a parable. And again, they were alone. When they were alone, he expounded. How do you and I, we talked about this in the very beginning, how do you and I get that expounded understanding? Get that teaching from God? Well, you got to dig it into his word. Exactly. It's got to come through the Bible. You know, God, I have never had an email from God. I've had some 2x4s, but never an email, okay? God doesn't speak to us except through his word. He already gave. He just said in the beginning of verse 33, with many such parables, he spoke the word. We've got the word. He speaks to us through his word. And as we study it and as we understand it, as we dive into it, the preceding parable said that the more you want to know, the more he's going to allow you to know, the more he's going to get you to know. And all of a sudden, you get those comments, wow, you're really preaching good. Listen, it ain't me. I'm still the same old wretch, you know. I'm still the same old guy. But I want to know more. I want to study more. God, I want to know you. And because of that, God says, absolutely. And he opens up that understanding. He opens up the word of God, and you start reading things, and all of a sudden, because one thing I left out on that parable about the birds, remember you read about the birds on that mustard branch? I sort of left them out. There's a lot of different understanding on them. But if you want to take a rabbit trail like I did, they can go back to different, some believe it was from Ezekiel 17 where the Gentiles are going to be given. So the birds, y'all blackbirds. You know, you're dumb sheep and blackbirds. I can't help it. That's what God says. The blackbirds supposedly were illustrating that the Gentiles would come and now take part and be a part of the kingdom of God. I don't know how that comes to play, but Scripture will teach you. Scripture will teach you what Scripture wants you to know. And Matthew, again, as we mentioned it earlier. Now, really quickly, before we close, let's look at Matthew 17:20. Because in Matthew 17:20, as I stated, that's when it talks about the mustard seed of faith. That's when it talks about how our faith needs to be as the mustard seed. It says in verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have the faith as grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence in yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. If you have faith that small, why? Because God says when you and I come with our small faith, by the way, it's not the amount of faith we have, it's the who we have our faith in. God says when you come to me with your little feeble mustard seed, mustard up faith, I like that for play on words. Your mustard up faith, when you come with that faith and it's in me, man, within a week, you're going to be 15 feet high. You see, that's the understanding of what we get from the parable. Now he's saying, now it's your life. Your life needs to start with Christ. Remember the presence of Christ, light of the world, the seed, the sower? When it starts with Christ, you know what happens from there? You go, you soar, you expand, you're all about God. And you then become the sower of the seed which was Jesus Christ. And that's what all these parables coming together mean. Your faith, listen, the amount of faith that you have, give it all to Christ. When you give him your faith, man, with him you can do anything. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, it's not about you and me. And what I'm learning as I study again through these parables is I'm nothing. I'm just a wee little mustard seed. I'm nothing. But with him, look out. Look out and see what he can do. And that's the exciting part. If we're going to grow personally, if we're going to grow our relationship with Christ personally, if we're going to grow our family, we're going to grow, we're going to flourish, our faith needs to be directed in Christ and Christ alone. Not our gifts, not our abilities, not our way of doing things. It's in him and him alone. And that's the challenge that we have in our heart and life today. First, as we begin to bring this home and our takeaway, How can we take this and what do we do with it? First of all, do we have a desire to plant seed to grow the kingdom of God? Do you really have a desire to win others to Christ? And you need to think about that. The Sunday school answer is, well, of course. Well, you know what's coming next. How long has it been? When's the last person you talked to about Christ? How long have you introduced him to somebody? You know, you can't say, well, yeah, it's really important to me. Well, about 5 years ago, it's not that important if it's been 5 years. You see, we have to get back to the desire to want to see the kingdom of God grow. We're not going to grow it. God gets the increase, but he asks us to be the seed planters. And we have to be planting those seeds in our life. The second thing we have, are we studying the word enough so God can keep teaching us? Can God continue to teach you and teach you and teach you? Do you have a desire to learn? Do you have a desire to study? Listen, and there's nothing against the daily breads. There's nothing against the small devotionals. Man, some of them things are great. They encourage you here, 15 minutes or so, give you a little boost in the day. But we're talking about digging into the word of God. And God, I want to know why you spoke in parables. God, I want to know to the best of my ability what you're trying to say. Or, God, my life absolutely stinks right now. It doesn't. Kim and I are great. It doesn't. Just say, I won't put that out there. But you know, I'm going through stuff. I'm having problems. Kids not responding. Grandkids not making choices. Parents not doing the right things. We have so much bombarding us from so many different levels. God is just not working right now. God, it's just not making sense right now. God, I want to know. I want to know what you're trying to teach me in the midst of this. You see, that's the heart that God says, oh man, I'm gonna open up my library. I'm gonna open up all the understanding. As Malachi says, I'm gonna open up the gates of heaven, and you are going to get more. You are going to see more. You see, one of the greatest gifts that God can give us is not material things. Because he knows, listen, we're no different than Israel. We are not Israel. But we act no different than Israel. If we walked into the promised land, what does that look like to you? I don't know, maybe hitting a $5 million or $5 billion lottery. Woo! We can go everywhere, do anything, have everything, yeah. But you know what? Just like Israel, you'll blow it. You'll mess it up. You'll forget your God in the midst of it. God's blessing does not come always, and very few, in material things. His blessing comes from the knowledge, growing in the grace and the knowledge of who he is. Because it's hanging on to that Christ. It's hanging on to that cord. It's hanging on to who he is that allows us to get through all that. And I think that's the blessing that God is saying. And that's the parable that we'll see and understand. Let's pray. God, we come to you today. We thank you for who you are. And God, I pray as we continue to just understand. Lord, I know in our feeble minds, it's very clear through Scripture that, one, we will not seek you. Two, we will not understand you. But yet, God, with you opening our minds and our hearts, we get to understand, we get to know, we get to put that in perspective. And God, today, that if there's someone within the earshot of all of this that has never asked you into their heart and life, God, today, may they start with that small seed, that small plant, may that seed sown in their life of Jesus Christ, your son, may that come in and may that flourish in all through their life. And God, we just thank you for how you continue to work in us and through us. Father, may we constantly be that conduit that is going, that is walking, that is planting the seeds and everywhere we go and touching lives without even knowing it. That's when it's better because then we know it's all of you. And God, I pray that we allow this truth of